I want to share something about the Christmas story. And if you look in the Gospels, there are two main accounts in the book of Matthew and then Luke. And then I just want to, before I read the account from Luke, I want to read a few verses from the Gospel of John, the first chapter. And it does relate to the birth of Jesus Christ. And I'll just read two verses here. Actually, let me read a few more than that. But it says, John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then verse 12 through 14, "But as many as received Him, He gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And then verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so when we remember the birth of Jesus Christ, which is a central part of our Christian faith, we remember that this verse here, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And so that's what we remember when Jesus was born into the world. And so here in the Gospel of Luke, we have one of the accounts of the birth of Jesus. In Matthew, there is more details. And Matthew is a story about the wise men who had a star appear to them, and they were wise enough to say, "This is something special." And they started to follow that star, and they actually brought gifts for the king that was born, Jesus, the Son of God. And but here in Luke, we read about how Mary and Joseph came from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. It's about 100 miles or more, and they had they didn't have cars back then, or airplanes, or helicopters. They had to go by foot and by donkey. And they made that trip. And so we'll start reading here in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria." Verse 3, "So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Then verse 19, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." In verse 20, "Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told them." And so as we read this Christmas story, I want to just bring out three points The first one is that God loves us. He loves every one of you. And he loved us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. We're familiar with that verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have eternal life." And so God gave Jesus Christ. He sent him into the world, and he came by the birth of the Virgin Mary. Mary, even though she was betrothed to Joseph, which was like engaged, she actually was not married. And so the way it happened, you can read this further in Luke chapter 1, that the Holy Spirit came on her. And really, it's a remarkable story. It's almost a message by itself, because Mary, she was told that she was going to have a son, and by this angel, and she said, you can read this, she said, "Be it unto me according to your word." And that's almost a message every one of us could say, "God, I believe your word, be it unto me according to your word." And so in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, she said, "For with God nothing will be impossible." Verse 38, "Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her." And so Mary had her part that she actually gave birth, but she also believed the angel. And so God worked with her, and the Holy Spirit came on her, and she gave birth. And, you know, I sometimes ask the question, you know, why did God send his son? And I would say, because there was no other way for people to be right with God. And, you know, when you look at the different religions of the world, they're trying to somehow get people right with God. But Jesus is the only way. Jesus actually said later when he was ministering, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but through me." And so Jesus was and will always be the only way that people can be right with God. And so that is why God sent his son, you know. And I sometimes ask people when they are involved in another religion, I say, you know, if there was another way to be right with God, why would he have sent his son? But because there was no other way, he did send his son. And so we at this time, sometimes people say, was the December 25th when he was really born? I'm not an expert on history, but we know he was born. And he was born one time in the year, and we're using this time to remember that he was born into the world. And so Mary and Joseph, they came down from Nazareth. They made that trip, and so they came to the city of David. They came to Bethlehem, and so all these people are there for the census, and so they were not on the top of the list of getting room in the inn or the hotel or the motel or however they called it back then, but they found a place there in where the animals were being kept, because we read that Jesus was born in a manger, which is almost something where animals can feed or get food out of. And it's really has a little bit of relationship, because I said not just a little relationship, because if you read another place in the Gospels, Jesus, it says he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, that Jesus was going to become the perfect sacrifice for us. Back in the Old Testament, they sacrificed lambs to pay for sin, or as a sacrifice for sins, but Jesus was going to be the perfect sacrifice, that he was going to make a way for us to have eternal life by his blood being shed for us. And so Jesus was born there in a manger, and he started in a very humble way. And even though it started in a humble way, God was aware of exactly where he was, because the angels were there, and they were talking to the shepherds. And I'll read this verse again here, in Luke chapter 2, about the shepherds, verse 9, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And so even with that humble birth, if you want to say in a place where animals usually live, God was aware of it. The angels were aware of it. If you read in the story in Matthew, the wise men, they had that star that led them exactly to Bethlehem, right over where Jesus was born. And so God was aware of that. And even though we won't read that story in Matthew, the wise men, we don't know exactly how many they were. A lot of people, sometimes they see a Christmas play and they think there was three wise men, but it doesn't say three wise men. But there were wise men who came, and they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And that actually would bring me to my second point. My first one is that God loves us, and God loves us so much that He made a way for us by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. And He loves everyone here. He wants everyone here to have eternal life. And then the second thing is that God will provide for us, and God provided for Jesus when He was born. Because even though they were there, they didn't have room in the inn. They didn't buy their way into the inn. They had to stay there where the animals were. But God sent those wise men over to them, who not only worshiped Jesus, but also brought gifts. And it says, brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And as we read later that Joseph, he was warned in a dream that he needed to leave right away. And so Joseph, he had to, after the birth of Jesus, he took Jesus and Mary, and they went to Egypt because they needed to get away from this Herod, who was trying to kill what he had heard was going to be the future king. And but so to leave and everything, they needed some money and everything, and here these wise men came and brought them gold and frankincense and myrrh. And so God provided there for that birth, for the birth of Jesus Christ. And we can read in the Bible that God will provide for us as we live for Him. We can have, every one of us can have a relationship with God through receiving Jesus Christ. And it doesn't say we're going to be rich, but we can trust God to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, we have that phrase, "Give us this day our daily bread." And we can trust God to supply our needs, to give us this day our daily bread. And so God provided for the birth of Jesus Christ. Even though it looked like a humble thing, He provided for the birth of Jesus Christ. And then the other thing that I want to bring out here is that the shepherds, they were real, if you want to say, common people. They didn't have a high education. They were not kings. They were not rich people. They were just working people. And here these angels came and told them about the birth of Jesus. And then we can read further that when they heard about the birth, it says here, verse 15, "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the angels said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made to us.' So they came," verse 16, "and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." And then verse 17, "Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child." And so these regular working people, shepherds, they came and saw Jesus, and then they went and told other people about Jesus. And that's something that each one of us can do. You know, we don't have to be anyone special. We don't have to have a big education. I mean, the Bible does say to study to show yourself approved. We can read the Word of God. And as Christians, it says the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. And so we can read the Word of God. We can study it for ourselves. And then we can share the good news with Jesus, of Jesus Christ, with other people. And so God wants people to know about His Son. And if you read in the book of Romans, it says, "How shall they know unless someone goes and tells them?" And so every one of us can be God's messenger and tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ coming into the world, that God made a way for us to be saved through Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you in this Christmas season to remember those three things. Number one, that God loves us, every one of us individually, and He wants us to have eternal life through Jesus Christ. The Bible says there's no other name given among men whereby we may be saved but the name of Jesus. The Bible says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so if you have never done that, I would encourage you to do that even this morning. There's a great verse in the book of Romans that says, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And so to receive that gift of Jesus Christ, we actually have to pray and receive it. You know, I sometimes give you the example that if a person took a $100 bill out of their wallet and said, I want to give you this $100 bill, you still would not have it until you took it, even though it was offered to you. And that is the way with receiving Jesus Christ. God gave His Son, but we have to receive Him. And the way we receive Him is by confessing Him as Lord and believing that God raised Him from the dead. So actually, I want to pray two short prayers. The first one, if someone here has not received Jesus Christ, I would like to pray. And if you would like to, just to repeat these words with me. And then we'll say a second prayer in closing before we sing a few more songs. So let's just say this prayer together and say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. And I now confess Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. And now the Bible says that I'm saved. That I am a child of God. That I am on my way to heaven. That Jesus is my good shepherd. I thank you for this. Amen. Amen. That's a simple prayer, but when we have done that from our heart, then we are a child of God. We know, based on the Word of God, that we are born again. That our name is written in heaven. The Bible says, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so I want to just say a short prayer before we sing a couple more songs. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for everyone here. We thank you that you love them with a great love, that you have got good things for each one of them, that you are concerned about each person here, and that you will supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And so, Lord, we pray your blessing and your joy and your peace upon each person here. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you just surround each person here with good friends in this holiday season. Lord, if they haven't heard from their family, that you will remind their family to contact them, and that we can contact our family and love our children and our family and our relatives. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that this season here we can rejoice that you made a way for us to have eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ. We give you the thanks and the praise for this. Lord, we just thank you that you give us the peace of God that passes understanding, and that you give us peace with you. We thank you and praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, God bless you. Yeah.